Welcome, everybody, to Out Comes the Sun podcast. I am Marielle Hemingway, and I'm here with my co-host, Melissa Yamaguchi. Hello, co-host.
Howdy, hey.
And we're going to get right into it today. We have an amazing, amazing, amazing guest, JJ Flizane, and she does incredible work. I think she's got such a, I want to say, a laundry list of incredible, she has incredible shows. She does a ton of podcasts herself. She has her own channel, and she does all kinds of podcasts from physical, mental, neuroplasticity, all kinds of things. I think you're really, really going to enjoy the talk we have with her. It's cool. Don't you think?
It's amazing.
First of all, I'm super excited that you're here. We have, anyway, to our listeners, we have an incredible guest, and I've been on her show twice. JJ Flizane, who is she's really remarkable in her journey to create, I don't know, higher consciousness is really what I'm going to say. We have very captivating and very interesting conversations on her show. So I hope that we can capture some of that, some of the magic that we created for her show a few times last week. And then, maybe a couple of years ago. Anyway, JJ, welcome to Out Comes the Sun. And I want you to meet my co-host and best friend, Melissa Yamaguchi, who does this with me.
Hi there. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to have this conversation, and it's very nice to meet you, Melissa.
So we had a conversation about raising consciousness. You have a thing that you're doing that is coming out in April. I think that, you know, this show and your it's an upgrade, right? It's an upgrade of your consciousness. I'd love for you to just explain to our listeners what that means for you and the people that you're talking to and why you're sharing that.
Yeah, thank you. So it's called the Consciousness Upgrade. It's a summit. It's a live online, so you don't have to go anywhere except your computer. It's an online summit happening April 17th and 18th. And again, it's called the Consciousness Upgrade. And it really kind of started out several years ago, actually, right, probably the same time you started your show. I was having on some of these amazing speakers, and you know a lot of them, and I was and yourself included. And I was thinking, gosh, I just want to do something more with all these people. I want to take this information. And I was looking at the through line of everyone's platform, of everyone's message, and really it became consciousness, because I go from physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. And again, that through line became, how do we upgrade our consciousness? So I went and bought the domain and thought, okay, I'm going to do this product. I don't know what I'm doing yet. And I put it down, and then I didn't come back to it because divine timing said it's not time yet. And, you know, one thing led to another. And this year it became the right time. And it is a compilation of some of my favorite people. Every single person as of this moment who is in the summit has been on my show before. So I have a relationship with everyone. I know everyone's work. I feel into everyone's purpose and their passion and their alignment and their message and what they want to offer the world. And when I started to do ads for the show or for the summit, and put words to this, because I usually can get up on a stage or work with someone and talk about anything as long as it's within the realm of what I've kind of already talked about. And this was like a little bit new. So I thought, well, how do I convey this to people? And I thought, well, we upgrade our computers and our phones all the time. We're always upgrading that. And this idea of a consciousness upgrade lends itself to what you guys talk about in terms of your mental health, because we are dealing with, in my world, I deal with tools. I want to help people. I give people tools. I use tools in the work that I do, because how else do we handle the problem at hand or know how to look at it? We have to have some kind of framework, some kind of way to process. It's not just process your emotions. Like, what does that mean? It needs to look like something. And so I am asking all these people to bring their tools to this event to offer any free advice and things that, I mean, where you and I went with it, you're one of a few that we did a pre-record. So which was awesome, because now I get even more excited about promoting it, because I know what we talked about, I know what we said, and I know what we came to the table with. So yeah, it's really looking at our grandparents and our great grandparents, even our parents maybe, and how they dealt with emotion or how they didn't deal with emotion, and looking at, you know, their world was putting food on the table. It was being able to pay the bills. It was keeping your kid alive. And we have evolved so much in our consciousness. It's happened so quickly, 30, 50 years, where we are now being presented with new problems, new ways of thinking about thoughts, new ways of thinking about emotion. And we are using some of the older tools or no tools. And so I thought it was time to sort of put a shine a light on this idea of consciousness and to ask people to really sort of evaluate, is what I'm doing working? And is this outdated? And is it time for me? Have we changed as a species? Have we changed as people in terms of how we deal with or even are aware of emotions or mental health? And so that's really kind of where we started. So the first for me, like, okay, this is going to happen if blah, 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 this happens. And the first person to say yes, of course, was Dr. Bruce Lipton. And he's been on my show several times. And I went to see him in Sedona last year, and he just invited me to come be a guest at his event. So he's amazing and I love him to death. And his work, for people that don't know it, will be life-changing for you. And the way that he talks about epigenetics and explains it, you will change the way that you look at things. You just will. And he's an author of many books, first one being Biology of Belief. So he'll be there. Harville Hendricks and Helen McKelly Hunt. Harville Hendricks created the Imago therapy model, and it is my favorite by far relationship therapy model. I think it is super effective. It is the basis of a lot of work that I do, not necessarily in relationship, but I take some of the key exercises and I've expanded and deepened and created intricate mapping processes for our core wounds. But Imago therapy is amazing, and I love Harville deeply, and the two of them are a powerhouse together, showing that relationships can grow at any age and continue. And they're so passionate about helping the world, like, they're not slowing down, they're speeding up. It's almost like they're on a race to change humanity. So we have Harville and Helen. We're going to be talking about radical remission. We've got Dr. Nasha Winters. We've got Christy Whitman, Dr. Sharon Stills, Dr. William Davis. So if you're gluten-free, you can thank Dr. William Davis for making Wheat Belly famous and understanding the effect of grains on not only on our gut health, but on our aging process, on our mental health. And so he'll be there to talk about what he's really super excited about right now. His latest book is called Super Gut. And he is passionate about the microbiome. I mean, finding each kind of different probiotic that for each part of the body, for each different function. I mean, it's like, he is so excited, and he's a cardiologist. I'm like, you are a cardiologist, right? And so I love his passion. I feel like he does, like, we just find something and then you're just digging and you're trying to find out more information. Dr. Dane here, Dr. Jane Gwynn, Kelly Sullivan Walden, who deals with dreams, and she's a dream analysis and a hypnotherapist. And so we're just going to be looking at all different ways, Mabel Katz, and looking at Ho'oponopono and ancestral clearing techniques that can help you clear some of the mental chatter that you have and reroute some of these patterns and create some neuroplasticity. That's what I'm all about. So that people can change and they can grow, and it's free. The whole thing is free. You can come and check it all out and sign up. There are upgrades to that, and I'm happy to give a discount code for any of your listeners that want to upgrade to keep all of the recordings, because there'll be bonus content too. Because when I get Dr. Bruce on a call, he keeps going and I will never tell him to be quiet. I just keep recording. So we have at least 30 minutes of extra bonus content that I will not be able to share at the summit. So that's it in a nutshell.
That's incredible, first of all. And what I love about, you know, how our conversation kind of, and I want you to go into kind of your core wounds and how you deal with that, because I think that's fascinating. And I love how you've taken all these different things. It's like you've gone to the shopping, you know, to the grocery store, and you picked out this and you picked out that, and you've come up with this conglomeration of things. And I'm a big believer that it's like we all have to come up with those key ways of making things work for ourselves, but then you share that with your like-minded people that also resonate with how you're healing, and especially with the brain and neuroplasticity and all that stuff. So maybe you could go into a little bit of your core wound technique, because I think it's fascinating.
Yeah. I just wanted to see if Melissa wanted to say anything or ask anything.
Oh, I know. I will.
I'm holding my breath, because once the tongue starts, so I'm waiting. Yeah, exactly. I have so many questions.
Okay. So I started my podcast in 2014, almost 10 years ago, to save my marriage. Didn't work in terms of the saving of the marriage because because it wasn't supposed to be saved. But it was the journey I needed to be on to learn what I learned to save other people's marriages and to help make other people happy and to help them learn how to overcome mental illness and mental challenges and the epigenetic understanding that you are not your family. And just because they had most diseases or mental issues does not mean that genetically that transfers over to you. That's not how this works. It is, though, if you believe it. If you believe that's when it's going to happen, then
and
it will happen.
If you pick up the habit, right? And if you emulate their patterns, absolutely.
Yes. So the core wound exercise came out of the Imago work to start. And I remember doing it. And I had wanted to do the Imago work the entire time I was in my marriage, but my ex-husband didn't want to do it until we were at the end that I said, okay, this is it, or this is it. Like, we have to try this. In retrospect, yes, it was perfect timing, but I kind of wish I would have started it earlier. Wouldn't have probably made any difference in terms of the outcome of my marriage. But at the same time, when I did like one of these exercises, I remember having, I had a habit. I had a pattern. We all have patterns. And my ex-husband would say, that doesn't work. When you do that, doesn't work. And I said, yeah, I know. And intellectually, I got it. I'm like, yeah, I know. But for some reason, I kept doing it. So I do this core wound exercise. And then I find that this pattern dates back to like when I'm 10 and 5. And I was like, holy, I have been doing this forever. And the minute I saw that, so astrologically, I'm a Pisces, but my moon's in Sag. And for those of you that do any astrology, you know that your moon is how you deal with emotions. So my Sag moon brain for emotions, once I saw it, you can't unsee it. So I immediately changed my behavior just with the awareness of the pattern. And I thought, this is so important. Why isn't everyone everywhere doing this when they go into therapy, before they get to therapy? Like, this would streamline years, and it creates a foundation and a structure. I was just blown away, because at that point, I mean, I was coaching at that point as well as personal training. And I was working with people's emotions and I was doing things in the coaching realm, but this gave me a structure. And so I kind of went and I ran with that, and I was teaching it to anyone that I could. And I created a certification for people on my show, and they became my trainers. And again, I've been working with this process now for 10 years, but more specifically over the last 6 years in a deeper dive with people. And I've sort of created, so let's go back to what a core wound is. A core wound is when you're from 0 to 7, your brain is recording life. It is not assessing. It is not conscious. It is not observing. It's recording. A plus B equals C, end of story, no other variation, no way to think about that. So if your parents did not come into the room when you were crying and screaming your head off at 5, your brain recorded, I just got abandoned, or I'm not valuable, or they're ignoring me or neglecting me. It's not an opinion. You didn't want to believe that, but your subconscious needed to make sense of what was going on. So These are the wounds that become beliefs that run our entire life. It's every choice you make. It's your work. It's your spouse. It's the way you are in the world. It's how you communicate, because you're trying to get what you didn't get. Your caregivers, it doesn't have to be parents. Your caregivers weren't perfect. No one escapes this, by the way. Everybody has core wounds. There is no perfect child. There's no perfect family. There's no perfect, everybody has core wounds, because our brains were all built differently. We interpret things differently. So there's about 10 or 20 different words that kind of abandons one of them, and devalued and ignored and controlled. And there's a bunch of different words, but basically I work with uncovering what those core wounds are. And then over the last 3 to 4 years, last 6 months, I've solidified, I've deepened the map process. Because to me, I'm now at the point where I think not having it and doing emotional work is crazy. Because a lot of people, and I've just witnessed this on my podcast, I'm not a trained therapist, I am a coach. And over the last 10 years, people would listen to the show, when I offered like one-on-one sessions, like a little 2-starter pack or something, I'd have people come and they'd work with me. And every time I'd get, oh my God, in 2 sessions, you've changed my life. And I've been in therapy for 7 years or 5 years or 10 years. I heard that enough. And I already felt like I didn't really like traditional talk therapy anyway. But after I kept seeing the results over and over again, over the years on my show and with my clients, I claimed it. I'm like, okay. So I created a 90-minute class called 3 Reasons Why Talk Therapy is Ineffective. Now, disclaimer, you love your therapist, you are different. You are different because of that person. Awesome. Then what I'm saying does not apply to you. But there are a lot of people who just keep you in the same story, talking about the same thing, where you're the victim of everybody else's stuff. and you never actually change. We know those people. You know those people who've been in therapy for 10 years and they're no different. They react the same way. They're no happier and their life looks the same. So I wanted to address that. And so this, so to me, I go in with this core wound because all of the, like I heard you say on the podcast, on your opening podcast that, you know, everyone's like, what you do is different. Like what you need versus what Melissa needs versus what I need. It's all going to be different. And I agree with you 100%. And I think it comes from first knowing what is it that we're looking at? What is it that we're treating? What is it that I need to heal? What are the wounds? And then for me, what's going to be the path for that? For some people, it's going to be some energy healing. For some people, it's going to be like the prognosis or the diagnosis is one thing, right? But then the plan is different. So to me, the map is the diagnosis. And then your roadmap to emotional healing, the plan that you want to do where that's going to work for you will be decided by the diagnosis, by the map, by seeing the patterns that you have and how to break them very individually, very specifically for you. So that's kind of what I've been doing. I mean, anyone that knows me when I was a trainer, especially my clients, like I talk about emotions ad nauseum. Like it's like, it's all I talk about. I'm all about the psychological, emotional, spiritual, how does astrology play into this first, third, second born, how to like the whole thing, love languages. I bring it all in, law of attraction, quantum physics, and I package it all together in a very comprehensive. My Mercury, for those astrology buffs, is in Aquarius. So I do see, I'm like that, the big picture, and then you take the pieces, and then that's how you put the plan together for the person, because they're very, all of it's very specific, right? We all interpret information in multiple levels very differently. So we can't make general assumptions about what's right or wrong for somebody because there's so many factors to look at, just like in all other kinds of sciences.
Go ahead, Melissa. I'll hold my tongue.
I'm fascinated by this. And one of the things that I'm intrigued about is you've been doing this enough breadth of time that you've seen shift in energy of people and their responses in your attendees and people and your listeners. My question for you is, because in feng shui, I alluded to this when you and I were first talking before we got on air, of how you have to approach people. And you mentioned it, how you can go into therapy and for some people it doesn't work. When I used to feng shui people's homes, they'd still be jerks or treating their wives badly or whatever it was. And so I pulled away and began helping them as individuals. But I'm noticing, and I know you are, and I'm intrigued to hear what it is. I'm noticing in my clientele and people with whom I work, a massive shift in change in the way they approach by organically, whether it's from what's happened post-COVID, whether it's what's happening in the world with our AI evolvement, whether it's happening and the wars breaking out, whatever is taking place, I'm seeing a massive shift. I'm curious to know, have you detected noticeable change in your audience and listeners that's almost palatable, that you can see changes in how they are approaching self-development, the desire to know thyself better, whatever it is?
So I've noticed the shift in me. And when I do a live event and my listeners come to California and we're all in a room together, not all, but you know, people that want to come to the event. And I ask, and I've asked this for years, every time I do an event, raise your hand if you've seen me grow in the last year. And the hand goes up. And it's because I'm not teaching anything I'm not doing or mm-hmm. haven't experienced, right? There are some people and I know you guys aren't this because I know your mission. I know your mission. It's very, you're very passionate about wanting to help people change how they look at their lives and know that they can heal and know that there's ways and there's help. And so anything that's dynamic like that is constantly growing and constantly, because you're asking, you're curious, you're asking questions. And I think that we're all attracting the people whose questions aren't getting answered by other ways traditionally. And so I think because I was even on Dr. William Davis's podcast a couple of times, his show is called Defiant Health. And I, you know, the first time, I don't know, we met and we had this conversation and it was great, but it's out of the realm of what he deals with. He's a body guy, right? He's dealing with epigenetics. He's dealing with gut health. He's dealing with, you know, digestive health. And I'm over here talking about emotions and he was fascinated. So I came back again. And then I came back again. And in the first couple of times, I didn't really feel like his audience was really my audience. Like I thought, oh, maybe I'm just not, it's too much for them. Their focus is weight loss. They want weight loss. They care about their body looks. They're not in the place to really listen, or they're not ready to deal with their emotions until this last time. And this last time I've gotten this slew of people that are like, coming from his podcast, they're like, okay, no, I've been looking for you. Thank you for your gifts. I literally had this as a text. Thank you for your gifts. I've been looking for you for a long time. And it's the part of when I was sitting in the room with Dr. Bruce Lipton in Sedona, and there were a bunch of healers. I mean, you know, you can guarantee that we're in Sedona and it's Dr. Bruce Lipton. You got a bunch of, hippy dippy, I'm myself included, you know, spiritual energy worker, healer kind of people. But in that room, it came to me really, I got a really massive energetic hit of like, you have to get out there more. I've been in my little world and I have these podcasts, and I have a lot of podcasts, and I'm in podcast land, but I don't advertise. I'm not out there necessarily speaking anymore or going on other people's podcasts on a regular basis. Like, it's not what I'm doing. But in that room, I thought, here is a bunch of people who can help shift this planet. And we have to make it known that we're here, whether or not people want us or not, because there are people looking for exactly what all of us do, but they don't know where to find us. And I got this really strong urge of like, JJ, you have to start spending money. You have to put yourself out more in places that you're not, because I've gotten really comfortable in my own audience. So I unfortunately feel like I have this like bipolar way of being in the world. I have my audience, which feel like a really safe place to talk about everything and anything. And the people that are there and have been with me year after year after year, who also continue to grow, like that feels like home to me. That feels like, yes, of course. And when someone's ready, they show up and then they get right in and they binge and they get involved. And that feels really good. But then when I'm out in the world, Melissa, I can be honest, like it's tentative for me. I don't know how to be sometimes in the world because I'm looking for depth and I'm looking for awareness and I'm looking for consciousness. And I don't really always feel, of course, that the majority of the world is not doing this. Like we're speaking to the minority right now, but I do agree with you that there is a shift in how we're looking at things and that the world is reorganizing itself because, again, certain structures in our lives are being challenged, are being asked questions that while COVID was awful and great for some things and terrible for other things, what it did was it shook up people to ask different questions. And the ones that just follow in line, who always just do whatever they're told, didn't shift. But the ones that maybe said, okay, well, I'll go the way you're telling me to go, and then they had a bad experience, or they said, hold on, wait a minute, they started to ask different questions. I saw a really profound change in some people that jumped ship and went 180 degrees in the other direction. And I don't think we would have seen that without that kind of contrast happening in our world.
Yeah. No, that's fascinating. No, it's honorable that you challenge yourself to go outside of your comfort zone. I know how it is. You know, Melissa and I have done our little podcast, and we're actually really trying to create, I mean, our channel is called Expansion. We're trying to expand into different areas that we don't understand. And it's not necessarily a podcast that we're hosting, but we're hosting from behind, you know? So, and I think that's really important because I think that we have to give human beings so many different options because everybody has their different road or journey to balance, to health, to wellness, to higher consciousness, whatever it is. Everybody has a different road to that.
I also think it's in the education and the focus. Like, we're not taught how to process emotions. We're not taught how to think about emotions. We're not taught how to think about ourselves and this whole process. And so I think that one of the things that got said, like I guess listeners would say, is that they used to say, oh, because I used to teach law of attraction. I started with law of attraction, quantum physics, after I took my 6 day a week health show and divided into six different shows, hence how the network started. And then each different show was a very specific topic. But it was because of the law of attraction piece and the sort of mechanics. So I've branded myself an empowerment strategist. And I was interviewed earlier this week on a podcast, and the guy asked me, so what's an empowerment strategist? And I explained it, and he goes, oh, I haven't heard of that before. I said, because I made it up. So that's why, because I created it. And it was to honor the left and right side of our brain and to equal out sort of what's necessary for change. Everything we do is because of how we feel or how we want to feel. Everything, every choice is about how we want to feel or how we currently feel. And, but we still need a strategy. We still need the left brain to come online and like have a plan and to execute, to change the right brain, to get the feeling that we want, to understand it. It has to be a little bit logical and linear in that way. So it's about that balancing out, but it's about the educating. And no one gets taught how to even think about emotions. Most people spend their entire lives running from them or stuffing them, as I'm sure you can relate to, with people that, you know, whether it be an addiction or whether it be just, it, you know, just hiding or getting so focused on one thing and creating your own cocoon, if you will, of a bubble to say, I like, the world is too harsh. I have to like hide in here. We aren't taught that. We don't know how to deal with that, or at least innately. Like, it's not taught in school yet. It's the most important thing in the world, how to have a relationship, how to relate to yourself. You know, I think also how this all snowballed for me was the connection to the physical body, because when you look at how negative emotion changes our biology, how it creates disease, how our body is where we hold most of our subconscious, and it's literally knocking on the door every day trying to communicate with you, but most people aren't listening. They have to wait until their body takes them down, and then they have to pay attention. Like my sister-in-law, I just told her, I sent her a bunch of health things. She keeps getting sick. And I said, I know you don't sleep, but you have to, even if it's not drug induced, but we can find non-toxic things to try to get you some sleep. She's like, I know. Well, I always do this. And I said, but you don't want what's on the other side of this. If you keep this up, where you're going, you can't recover from very easily. So like, that's the warning the body is trying to give you. Stop ignoring it. So it was an easy transition for me from looking at how people healed and looking how they treated their body, and then that internal emotional effect. And then of course, noticing that people that want to lose weight or people that are on a diet, whatever, like, and then they binge and then they go, well, that's an emotional thing. That's like the plan, the exercise is not.
I mean, don't you think the body is just in response to emotional things that either are overdealt with or you're over emotional about, but you don't really understand the emotion or the stuffed emotion? It's, you know, the body is just, I mean, I think of my mother who had cancer when I was growing up, and she had lost her first husband in the war, in World War II. I never even knew that she'd been married before. I didn't find out until I was looking, you know, how when you're a kid and you look through all your photo albums, you know, like you sneak around. I found this guy, you know, a man who was like dressed in military guard. He was a fighter pilot. Anyway, my mother lost him. You know, he was shot down in the war, and they'd been married like 9 months, right? So they never had a problem or an issue or a fight or anything. So Prince Charming literally was shot out of the sky, and she never, I mean, nothing in our home was ever discussed. So that was stuffed, and I'm convinced, and I knew it as a child, I wasn't sure. But once I found out that she had this husband that she never talked about, I knew that that was why she had cancer. I just knew it. I mean, you know, I'm not a doctor, I'm not claiming to be, but you know, those things are so profound.
There's two things that you've said that kind of stand out for me that I think are so valuable. I want to highlight for our audience. The first thing you said, you talked about, and not in order here, but one of the things you talked about was really emotional regulation. Is understanding how we regulate our emotion in order to either achieve a desirable or undesirable effect, and what is our responsibility to that. I think it's huge in that you're teaching that, because that's something that we've lost. We've lost in, and it partners up to the second point that I think you brought up that's worth highlighting. You talked about giving tools to your audience, and then you said that we're not taught how to think about our emotions. Well, the emotional part and then the tools part, because coming from a long line of educators, we don't teach people how to think emotionally, mentally. We don't teach them how to think about their body physically, which is what we saw during COVID when everyone was like, what do you mean I can't have 5 Arby cheeseburgers and, you know, and a Wendy's Frosty and still get sick. So it's like we're not taught how to think about these different aspects of our life, and that the beauty of it is the power is within. We have this amazing power, and I love that you're offering tools and teaching them how to think, how to think. It's my, Meryl knows, I get on the mountaintop about this all the time, that people just don't think. And I'll see people in the car, and one of my children will say, like, I've got a slew, I've got two, but one of them would say, what do you think that person's thinking? And I said, well, nothing, absolutely nothing. And therein lies the problem. And I think the fact that you are offering tools, encourage them to think, is, should be applauded. It's great. It's really big. It's
amazing. I mean, I always get excited when you speak. I'm happy that we were able to speak to you and you could express yourself, you know, because when I'm on your show, I'm blah, blah, blah for too much, you know, time. And for you sharing this, I think it's really important stuff. I mean, I think there's such an in-depth dive that that anybody can do listening to your different podcasts or doing the work that you're doing. It's super important. And it's important for people to know that there's just many paths to their higher consciousness, to their wellness, to their... I love that you started out saying, look, you know, it just because that's in your family, especially because we talk about mental health, just because it's in your family. And had I known you in my 30s, I needed you to like scream this in, you know, into my ears, because I was so afraid. I did all my health stuff, but and I do that in air quotes, because I was, you know, running fight or flight, desperately trying to like not be like my family. Maybe if I can control my body, if I can control food, if I control this and all that. So when you say, you know, it's all about choices. And I do now know that in, you know, the six decades that I've been on the planet, I now know, oh, right, these are my choices. And I feel great now. But to be able to share that knowledge. And I love that you ask your, you know, your people when you have an event, you know, who's seen me grow. It's honest. And that's what people relate to. They want to know that you're human. You know, that you're going through shit too. Sorry, I said shit. I said it. There I did.
Well, especially during AI, they need to know too. Well, especially during AI, they need to know that, is this an avatar? Is she real? So when you give up, here's my Achilles, they're like, oh, okay. All right, we're done. I can trust this.
True. Look, JJ, this has been so amazing. And I hope that you'll come back and speak to us again. We do a short interview. It's only really a 30-minute interview, but you're just a wealth of information, and you have so many great connections. So thank you so much for coming and talking to us today. We're just thrilled.
Yeah, of course I'd love to come back. I got lots I'd want to share. I love to give people tools, because that's the whole empowerment piece. I don't want you to have to need me. This is about teaching people to think and teaching people to have tools so they know how to solve their own problems. They know how to get their own needs met. That's kind of part of the problem. They're part of the process here. And, and why I think that one show was successful as it was, I'll get, you know, fan mail that says your podcast has changed my life. I get that all the time, and I don't know them. They haven't paid me. I haven't worked with them. It's just the stuff I give out on the show. So that's why I keep doing it. That's why it makes me excited. It's why I want to get out there more. It's why I want my content to be out there more, because it's free. Like, the majority of it's free. So please use it and get your happiness. I teach people how to be happy.
That's awesome. Just before we leave you, just tell, how can people find you? Like, where do we go? Where does the average person go to find you?
I'm not so average.
Not your average, right. The extraordinary.
Being an average person. I'm sorry.
Well, everything is at jjflazanes.com. Like, just, and there's free stuff all over the place. There's the three reasons why talk therapy is ineffective. There's a how emotions affect healing and disease. There's a whole 90-minute class on that. And there's courses and there's podcasts, and I have a whole network. If this is going out by any means before the summit, if you want to see Meryl on the summit, as well as all of the people we talked about earlier today, then you'd go to theconsciousnessupgrade.com. It's a free 2-day summit, April 17th and 18th. It is on my site, but it's not as front and center because it's such a short kind of thing that's happening one time. But I'd love to see everybody there. JJFlazanes.com. Reach out if you have any questions. I'll direct you to whatever you need.
You're amazing. Thank you, JJ, so much. We're going to talk to you again. I know it.
I'm Marilyn Smith. I'm a professional home economist. I'm an alumnus of the Second City Comedy Troupe. I am the writer of 8 cookbooks, 2 of them award-winning, and I'm also the self-proclaimed queen of fiber. My latest book is Peace, Love, and Fiber, and you can get it online anywhere. And you're listening to Outcome of the Sun with Meryl Hemingway and Alyssa Yamaguchi.
Well, that was amazing. She's did she take a breath?
She is a wealth of information. And you know what? For those who can't see her, she looks like a blonde Anne Hathaway. I kept waiting for her to be, I dream a dream of ha-da-ha. I was waiting for Les Miserables to break through.
So much energy. I love that. I love that. Super excited about, she's super excited about her life. And I love when people have found their voice, right? And she's found her voice and she's helping people. God bless her.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. And and everything that she's talking about with emotion and how you've got to be in control of it and how your life is a series of outcomes that you can participate in. I applaud. I applaud what she's doing. It's great. It really is.
It's wonderful. I'd love to have her on again and, you know, to get some of the tools. I'd love to see her.
Yeah.
You know, because I think that that's always like, tell me what to do. Like, you know, I wanted to dig in, like, how do you find that core wound? You know, I mean, yeah, there's probably a habit that you've been doing for a long time, but how do you know, how do you find, sometimes it's, I've done so much work. I know that there's different things that I do, but I think about acting. I think of a character, right? But I'm curious, you know, how does she find that core wound? Right. I'm curious about that. You know, like, I think she's got it's like, she calls it a diagnosis, but it's, there's got to be a way that you find, that you dig into what that emotional scarring is, you know, that's intense or not, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it may be as easy as flipping pancakes. Who knows what she's got up her sleeve? It could be, we need to find out. That's for ding dang sure.
Yeah, I know, man. I want to know. I want to know what's going on. Yeah, that's, I love anything that makes you, you know, really examine. I mean, I'm a big examiner of emotions because being an actor, that's what you do. Like, you're dealing with emotions. You're responding or reacting to somebody else's emotions. And then you know, a good actor is always really kind of on the surface. You're like really, you're kind of, it's like being an animal. You're kind of on guard sometimes. And I think that it must be something like that. I don't know. I'm extremely curious. I don't know. Just thinking. I love that she talks to Dr. Bruce Lipton because I'm a big fan of his biology of belief.
I like his tea. I jest. He's great. He really is. He's really brilliant.
Well, the whole idea that how we believe, you know, our belief systems really, that's how we manifest our lives. What we believe, we manifest, right? Yes. So if your belief is tainted by an upbringing that is whatever, if you were abandoned, if you were this, if you're that, when it, that creates a belief, you know, and she was talking about 0 to 7, which I love. I love that because that's all, you know, Bobby, that's all he talks about is that.
And that's all, that's what we learn in feng shui. It's 0 to 7 are the crucial years of development energetically.
Absolutely. 100%. And that we're recording at that time, not like defining or trying to make sense of, we're just recording. This happened. This happened. Oh, yep. I better take care of myself here because this happened.
Yep.
Right?
So yep.
That's where you get that abandonment. That's where we get that fight or flight because you're recording stuff. It's like, how do I survive this? You know, whatever. You know, and it's so interesting because I think of different people and their families, and because when I speak to groups and they'll say, oh my gosh, your story is so much like mine. And I'll go, really tell me your story. And they'll say this horrific story, right? Which nothing like mine, right? I think my story is like zero, like it's not even eventful in comparison, but it's not about the things that happen. It's about the emotions that people
feel. The feelings,
feel.
Yeah. Yeah, how made you feel?
Yeah. Yeah. So
That's interesting. That's interesting. That's really interesting. Because a lot of times when you hear about people's childhood, them relaying an event may not, I understand what you're saying. The minute, my light bulb just went off, Mariel, because what someone's relaying something to you and you're thinking, yeah, well, and people try to one-up each other with their horror stories. Yeah, yeah, well, you should have heard what happened to me in college. When it's not about what happened to you, it's about how you felt in the moment. That's huge. Wow, that's
huge. It's huge.
Yeah, it is.
Whenever I listen to people's stories, like, oh, I get it now. Because I didn't need that much to terrify me, right? It wasn't like, yeah, my story is whatever it is. But it took very little for me to have an overt emotional response to it. Because I was super sensitive. A very sensitive person will react to the smallest thing. Now, whereas somebody else needs this enormous event to have the same kind of emotional terror. It's interesting. I find that interesting. And that's what's so interesting about human beings and who we are as human beings and how we respond to events in our lives. It's fascinating. Anyway, wow.
That's why I avoid the O / S at the clothing store, because one size does not fit all. Does not.
So right, my girl, right about that.
And that's my Yoda-ism for the day. One size does not fit all.
O-S, bull. I say B-S to O-S. Oh my gosh. Well, this was a great show. This is good. That was really fun. It was fun talking to you, as always. Thank you all for listening. You're listening to Outcomes of Sun with my delightful co-host, Melissa Yamaguchi, and myself, Mariel Hemingway. Remember that we're doing this at the end of the day for the MarielHemingwayFoundation.org, which is a resource navigator. That's all we want to be. We just want to be able to guide people towards the solutions for their mental health issues that they have in whatever country, in whatever city. And that is the journey that we're on. We are not there yet. So if you go to MarielHemingwayFoundation.org and you say, where are these resources? That's what we have to raise money for. So just so you know, complete transparency, that's what we need you for. Anyway, it's so great to be here with you today. And we look forward to the next time we get to talk with you.